is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Let me tell you what I did the other night. Friday night, put the boys to bed, waited till close to midnight, took my assistant, Robbie Sagers, and we got in the car. Went down the street to four different bookstores where we just kind of did a little bit of cultural investigation and watched the Potter parties. Four different Potter parties where you had gatherings of people celebrating the release of the new Harry Potter book at 12:01. Kind of a tame group of people, although they were all over the place. The places were packed and you had people standing in line forever to get the newest hardback of this Harry Potter book. Now, let me tell you, I recognize that this is one of the most controversial things in the world. And I recognize that taking on Allah and the Muslims in the last program was nothing compared to trying to discuss the Harry Potter series. So let me just go ahead and tell you up front, before we even begin, I have never read one of the Harry Potter books. Not read one of them. I've seen one of the movies. I've not read any of the books, and so I've got an open mind here. I know that we've got Christians on both sides of this thing, and I'm willing to be convinced either that Harry Potter is some kind of a Christian allegory, or that Harry Potter is the worst thing for Christianity since, I don't know, the Church of Satan. Let me know what you think. What about the Harry Potter series? The thing that I think is so important about the Harry Potter series, though, is what it's telling us about the role of fantasy in American life. And what I want to ask you is, how can we as Christians raise up children, regardless of what we think about Harry Potter, raise up children who have the kind of moral imagination that is conducive to the gospel itself? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we're going to talk today about Harry Potter. One of the things I found really interesting about the Potter parties the other night is the fact that as we're walking around looking at all of these people, I turned to Robbie and said, you know, what's so amazing to me is that there are so many kids. We really didn't have what I expected, which was a bunch of kind of bohemian college students there to celebrate Harry Potter. There were a lot of first, second, third, fourth grade kids who are there with their parents dressed up like Harry Potter and waiting for the release of this book. And it's a big book. So you've got these little kids reading this big book. Now, the thing that a lot of you are going to have to decide and are going to have to work through in your own homes when Harry Potter is so big in terms of pop culture is, am I going to read these books to my kids? Am I going to allow my kids to read these books? Are we going to have Harry Potter in the house? Maybe some of you say, I'm going to let my kids read Harry Potter, but then I'm going to be there to deconstruct some of the more problematic parts. What are you going to do in terms of your own home? Those of you who have children who are about the age for the everybody's wild about Harry craze, what are you going to do to shepherd them through this? And what does that tell us about the larger issue of engaging with pop culture and trying to relate that to children who have a moral imagination? Well, I have two guests with me today who both have read all the Harry Potter materials. I'm not sure if they've read this latest one yet. They've had a couple of days to do it. One of them is John Granger, who is the author of Finding God in Harry Potter. And he has a largely positive assessment of the Harry Potter books from a Christian perspective. The other is Carol Matriciano, who is a filmmaker. She is a very accomplished maker of videos in California for many years. Many of you will have seen movies and films that she is in, videos that she has made. She has a very negative view of the Harry Potter books. And so, John and Carol, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you very much.
Good to have you with us.
For having us as guests.
John, you have written a book saying that you find in Harry Potter some Christian themes.
Well, yeah, that's the trick, is how do you read these books? Do you mm-hmm. read them as artifacts in the culture war,
mm-hmm.
or do you read them as books within the English literary tradition, which is predominantly Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read these books in the context in which they're written, that is, as novels inside this tradition, you're overwhelmed by the amount of Christian symbols, Christian themes, and certainly the Christian meaning of the books. Each one of the books is a hero's journey that ends in a climactic battle in which Harry dies a figurative death, every single book, including the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And when he dies this figurative death, he comes back to life in the presence of a symbol of Christ because of the symbol of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And these symbols are undeniable. The Philosopher's Stone, the Phoenix, the Resurrection Bird, the White Stag we remember from the Narnia novels. In this last book, it's the Hippogriff, which is, you know, the griffin is half lion, half eagle, meaning representing Christ as King of Heaven and Earth. Every one of these books has these symbols, these meanings, these structures that all point to the simple fact that Rowling grew up as a Christian, still an active Christian, children are all baptized, and she's writing as a Christian novelist within this tradition.
So now, do you think that this is intentional, the Christian symbolism that you see and the Christian themes that
you see? Six books in a row and all these things laid out, it's pretty hard to struggle against it, isn't it?
Okay.
I mean, if you were doing it accidentally, you think you'd see some break in it.
Well, you know, but I think that you can have accidental Christian themes in all kinds of novels simply because...
As I detail in my book, which is Looking for God in Harry Potter, published by Tyndale, what you see is the overwhelming symbolism of the books is mm-hmm. absolutely consistent with a Christian cosmology.
Okay.
All the serpents are evil. Okay. All the griffins and the unicorns and the hippogriffs and all the Christ symbols are uniformly on the good guys' side. When they come into conflict, like for example, at the end of the second book, which if people haven't read the books, they've probably seen the movie, the Chamber of Secrets movie, you have the resurrection bird fighting the giant serpent.
Mm-hmm.
And the resurrection bird blinds the serpent and arms Harry to fight this. And then when Harry kills the basilisk and is poisoned, the resurrection bird suffers and weeps, and his suffering saves Harry's life.
Carol,
that's about as bald a morality tale as you can get.
Carol, what do you think? Are you as optimistic about the Christian themes in Harry Potter as John is?
No, I'm afraid I'm not. John, I mean, this is absolutely incredible that you would see Harry himself, who is a witch, as a good symbol, and Harry rising from the dead. I mean, this is unbelievable that the symbols, of course, all symbols that were created by God, the devil can counterfeit. But Harry himself is a witch, and God says that he detests witchcraft. He detests witches. Harry is in a school of 350 other students who are all confessing witches. Their teachers are black occultists of the black arts who teach everything from astrology to psychic reading to use of imagination. One of the teachers becomes demon-possessed or spirit-possessed. We've got Harry speaking to the dead. His parents return from the dead. We've got teachers, the ghosts that are around them. So it's discrediting God, saying once we are going to die, and then the judgment. Here we have got reincarnated and reliving spirits and spirits of the dead coming in. And it is such a confusion to use pagan heathen concepts, which God himself detests, and say that and start comparing them to symbols of Christ having risen from the dead. And because we've got a weeping bird who's going through suffering, whose tears fall on Harry, who is a witch, and Harry gets saved, we can't it is absolutely incredible to start comparing this to symbols in, you know, God, biblical symbols, John.
John, what would you say to Carol's critique that you have Harry, who is a witch, which is, of course, condemned by the Scripture as being outside of God's purposes? How would that fit in terms of what?
It sounds very much like the critique made by a filmmaker ignorant of the entire English literary tradition, and certainly of C.S. Lewis novels, which Lewis makes a distinction in his books, specifically in Prince Caspian, between invocational sorcery, which is that condemned by Scripture,
mm-hmm.
and incantational magic, which is, you know, our harmonizing with the Word of God. All of the good magic in English literature, from Chaucer and Shakespeare to Lewis and Tolkien, is about incantational magic, and all of the magic in Harry Potter is incantational magic. Now, this distinction may seem like a false one to her, because she's got a blanket statement that all witches and wizards are evil, but
yeah.
If she's going to do this, then we're going to throw away every element of English literature that involves witchcraft or any kind of magic. And in this, I should say that, you know, she should go to, you know, Matthew, you know, chapter 12 and see about the the Pharisees that condemned Christ because he was, you know, obviously committing miracles with the prince of devil, that he was practicing invocational sorcery.
Okay, hold on, both of you. I asked you only to stay for one segment. We're going to see if you can come back for a couple of minutes because this is a really important conversation, and I want you to join the conversation. We're going to talk today about Harry Potter and the role of fantasy in Christian child rearing and in the Christian gospel proclamation. What do you think? Is Harry Potter consistent with evangelical Christianity? And what are you going to do with your kids, your grandkids, when it comes to Harry Potter? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I'll tell you what, we've talked about everything from Islam to daycare on this program. I don't think we've ever had as spirited an exchange as that since I debated Tony Campolo back last summer on the subject of Bill Clinton. So it's really interesting to me to see how seriously people take the issue of Harry Potter. And I think it's right to take it seriously simply because right now, that is a huge cultural phenomenon, and all of us are going to have to deal with it in one way or another, especially those of us who are parents or grandparents, and those of us who are in charge of children in various different ways within churches. How are we going to analyze Harry Potter from a Christian worldview? Now, John Granger, author of Looking for God in Harry Potter, had to go, but we have on the line with us still Carol Matriciana, who is talking about her concerns about the Harry Potter novels. I want you to join the conversation and let me know, number one, what do you think about Harry Potter? Some of you may have very strong feelings about this. Some of you may be like me. You just don't know yet. I want you to give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. But what I specifically want to know from you is, if not Harry Potter, what? How do you take a understanding of fantasy and creativity and create within Christian children an understanding of the moral imagination? I mean, after all, we do not want children who are unable to understand the kind of heroic themes that John Granger was just talking about. So let's talk about that today. How do we create that in children, and how do we understand Harry Potter? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Carol, right before we went to the break, John was saying that if you're going to toss out Harry Potter, you're going to have to toss out most of the Western literary tradition.
Well, yes, and I take issue with the way that he has lifted up literary traditions in such a high way and then making it sort of spiritual and putting it with the greats as Shakespeare and Chaucer, et cetera, et cetera. I think we've got to bring this right down to where it is today. And then, of course, he dismissed the fact that just being a documentary filmmaker didn't hold any credence. Well, documentary filmmakers have to document all the information and be very, very factual about mm-hmm. what they put in, just as John obviously documented a lot of his information. So, you know, we interviewed witches, we interviewed the kids that had read Harry Potter, we interviewed concerned parents in the film that I made, Harry Potter Witchcraft Repackaged. And the reason is that I, too, am a parent. I'm very concerned. And the issue that I took was that here is a book that is written 101 witchcraft. I mean, we've got 350 students in Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry learning to be wizards. And J.K. Rowling herself said it takes 7 years for a proficient wizard to come into his fullness, is to his higher potential. So here we've got 7 years of Harry in school learning how to become a more adept wizard, learning each year how to do the wizardry, the symbols, the ceremonies. So as Harry is learning, so are the thousands and thousands of children vicariously learning from these occult teachers, teachers of the dark arts, stuff that is usually in the dark pages of witchcraft. And I think what we've got to understand that this isn't a novel. I mean, J.K. Rowling may have written Harry is a fictional character, but witchcraft was deemed a religious, legal religion in 1986, way before Shakespeare and Chaucer So here we've got that it was ruled by the Supreme Court as a legitimate religion. It's been given IRS tax-exempt status. We've got Wiccan chaplains in the military. It's the fastest-growing religion amongst teenagers. And Scholastic Inc., who are the publishers, have got this into the classroom as recommended reading to be read aloud by the teachers in the classroom at a time when the reading of the Bible or the Ten Commandments or prayer in school has been knocked out of the school classroom.
Well, Carol, what would you say to John, though? I think he did make an interesting point about, for instance, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien's use of magic in terms of a very distinctly Christian worldview.
Well, first of all, of course, C.S. Lewis did come out of the occult just as I did, and he understood fully what these things were, and it wasn't really written. I mean, he says in one of his books that this is not written for Christians. I remember as a former New Ager that when I read C.S. Lewis's books, that through my worldview of course, it wasn't called witchcraft in those days, but it was called the New Age. We could interpret C.S. Lewis through our worldview to be the things that we wanted so that good magic looked good and we could justify what we were doing through the worldview, whereas from a biblical worldview, the moment that I came into a spirit of truth, I could see that the angel of light himself, Satan himself, can masquerade as both an angel of light and deceive deceive in a much more subtle way than Satan himself or, you know, the one that appeared to Eve. And here we've got
so for you, this is much bigger than J.K. Rowling. I mean, you would rule out C.S. Lewis or Tolkien from a Christian children's library as well.
Well, I think children have to be very, very well grounded. Mm-hmm. I mean, adults reading these books, allegory is very, very difficult. And if you're reading it from a biblical perspective and you've got the scriptures that are alive and sharper than any two-edged sword that can give you discernment, then, of course, we can discern allegory. But when you've got little Harry, who is a witch himself, who is using the same source, he and the evil in Harry Potter books, they both come from the same source, but Harry is supposedly using his evil for good or his magic for good, the white side of magic, and Voldemort, the evil, Dark Lord Voldemort, is using it for evil. But, you know, we know that there is no variation of good from the Father of Lights, from God himself is pure white and light. But Satan can be divided into an angel of light and the God of darkness.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Carol, and we appreciate your being so straight-talking on this issue. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How are we to understand Harry Potter? How are we to take, when you have all these kids at the Potter party, the interesting thing to me is you have all of these kids, and these weren't a bunch of nerds. These were very normal, typical kids. It wasn't just a bunch of very bookish children who just would be there reading anyway. These were children of every kind that you can imagine, standing around buying books to read. So what are we to do as Christians in order to raise up children in this kind of a culture who understand creativity, who understand fantasy? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I was a little surprised when Carol said not only does she have a problem with Harry Potter, you know, I feel like such an idiot on the Harry Potter issue. I called a friend of mine on the cell phone on the way home today and said, explain to me. I know Kathy Wills out there that you read this Harry Potter book because she reads everything all the time. I said, let me know what it's about. And she gave me all of these terms and all of these words and all of these things going on. And I'm just sitting there feeling like a complete Dimbledorf. I don't know what she's talking about. But there's important issues here. You have a hero, you have a battle of good and evil, and Carol's right, you also have those who are involved in a school for witches. So how do we as Christians, at the same time that we say you have Wicca and witchcraft and sorcery that are contrary to the Word of God, on the other hand, say we need to celebrate heroism? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. Harry Potter and the Gospel, what do you think? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. If you're hearing Creedence Clearwater Revival on the Albert Mohler program, that means this is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about Harry Potter. Is there a bad moon arising when you're talking about reading to children books that have witches and warlocks and magic? We just heard a lady who was telling us, look, you should never have these Potter books in your house because they deal with magic. But when you pressed her a little bit, she said you shouldn't have C.S. Lewis either, and you shouldn't have J.R.R. Tolkien either because they present magic. Well, what do you think? How are we as Christians to engage Harry Potter and to engage the issue of fantasy in a way that doesn't drive our children toward Wicca? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let's think this through, because it's complicated at one level. Because, you know, I've told you, I haven't read the Harry Potter books, and my kids are too young to really be interested in Harry Potter anyway, so I haven't had to confront this yet. But many of you have, and many of you have had to make the decision with a 9-year-old who's coming in saying, I want to read Harry Potter. You've had to decide, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? How am I going to be in the world but not of it? And I want to know how you handled that and what you recommend to us. Give us a call at 877-893-8255. And we have on the line Jay, who is calling from Houston, Texas. Jay, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Hi, Russell.
Good to have you with us. What do you think?
Well, I've read all but this newest Harry Potter book. I've always been, from a little kid, a science fiction fantasy fan.
Yeah.
The problem I have with the Harry Potter books is not the witchcraft and all that. I believe that Christian parents sitting down talking with their children, sharing the word like they're supposed to with them, will overcome those issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I dislike about the Harry Potter books for children more than anything is their attitude toward the authority figures and the way they are encouraged to kind of thumb their nose at the rules.
Oh, uh-huh.
And everything's done with kind of a wink and a nod, as far as, you know, if the teachers that Harry and his friends like just kind of let them get away with anything, and the ones that Harry and them don't are always on them. I mean, it gives a really skewed view of authority and how the children are supposed to respond to that authority. And
of course, they are witches, after all.
I'm sorry?
They are witches, after all, so I guess they would have an attitude.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, Jay makes an interesting point in that I'm not sure, again, how the Harry Potter books handle this, but there is an entire cultural phenomenon out there with the wisecracking child who really knows what's going on, as opposed to the dumb and bewildered parents who have no idea what's happening. And that's everywhere. That's not just in Harry Potter. I was struck, went the other night to see a film that was so remarkable, because in the film you had a dad who actually was leading his family and was respected, and I kept waiting for the little wisecracking 4-year-old who would come out and show everyone the real meaning of life, and never showed up. So that is something that Christian parents need to be aware of in every aspect of popular culture. As you're talking to children, you know, our culture uplifts anti-authoritarianism. We need to be able to say to our children, you know, this doesn't necessarily reflect a Christian understanding of how children ought to treat their parents. But I don't think that means you ought to throw out anything that has that representation there. Because after all, there's all kinds of literature that shows unregenerate people acting in unregenerate ways. Now, I'm not sure that that has much to do with the Harry Potter series, because there's so many strands of things involved that we need to sort through. How do you sort through it? What do you think about using Harry Potter, about dialoguing about Harry Potter with your kids and the kids in your family and your church and your neighborhood? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we will have you on the conversation. We have on the line Lauren, who is calling in talking about Harry Potter. Lauren, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Hi. My question is actually, the gentleman who wrote the book, Finding God in
mm-hmm.
Harry Potter,
mm-hmm.
was he aware that Nicholas Flamel was actually a real person?
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly a real person anyway, and that he donated a lot of his money to the church.
Mm-hmm.
just curious about that. But as far as I'm concerned, they're awesome books. They have got an entire generation of children reading again.
All right. Well, that's a good point, Lauren. What do you do when you have an entire generation reading books, but are they reading the wrong kinds of books? And if so, should your Christian children be involved in reading them? And if not, then what? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. How do we have Christian children who not only love to read, but who love to resonate with the idea of a hero taking on evil? That's central to the gospel. What do we do? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. It's Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Moeller.
Something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
It's something weird and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
Welcome back to the Albert Moeller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Moeller. Ghosts and witches and werewolves. Oh my. Today we're talking about Harry Potter and how do you create a fantasy life, an imagination life in Christian children, while at the same time teaching them to understand that there is a real struggle between light and darkness. I mean, we don't want to create children who think that witchcraft is morally neutral, but at the same time, we also don't want to create children who are able to think only in a very flat sense. And I remember I had a kid who was with me in elementary school who never was allowed to play with Superman or Spider-Man action figures because they had superhuman powers. And he said that was unbiblical. He was only allowed to play with Batman because Batman was just a normal guy who had a utility belt and knew how to do some cool moves. And so he was able to play with Batman, but everything else had to do with witchcraft. And that's really not what Christianity is about. But is the Harry Potter series, is the Harry Potter set of novels, is it really bringing a view of witchcraft and of Wicca that is subtle but makes it seem attractive or morally neutral? I don't know. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And the bigger issue for me is, whatever you decide about Harry Potter in terms of your own home, how are you then going to create Christian children who understand not only how to read, but to read good things that resonate with a Christian worldview? And sometimes that doesn't mean that you have to have an invitation at the end of every novel. It means, though, that you have children who are able to think in terms of beauty, in terms of heroism. How do you do that? How do you inculcate that? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. And we have Robert, who is listening in Flanders, New Jersey on XM Radio. Robert, welcome to the Albert Moeller Program.
Thank you, Ross. I appreciate it. It's a great topic because it's, as a Christian parent of four kids, my wife and I and our extended family are kind of unsure about this. When the books first came out, I didn't think there was a big problem, but to be honest, I hadn't read them. But Now we are not encouraging our children to read them for the reasons you mentioned. But I guess my question is...
Now, Robert, did you read the books and decide that these were not appropriate for kids, or how did you come to that decision?
I have not read all of them. I've read parts of them
okay.
And read summaries of them.
Okay.
But for the reasons that some of the other people have mentioned, we're not encouraging them, and the kids... thank God, have not asked to read this latest one.
Okay.
I'm glad that they're not falling prey to the powers of marketing.
Sure.
But I guess the question is, where do you draw the line? Because, you know, a lot of classics like Cinderella, Snow White, The Wizard of Oz, all involve witchcraft or sorcery to some extent, and I think kids are intelligent enough to understand that that is a fantasy. So if you accept that Harry Potter is not appropriate, you still have to decide somewhere to draw the line that, you know, whether it's Batman's okay and Superman's not or whatever it is. And I think that's the hard part as parents is where do you draw that line?
Yeah, you know, I think, Robert, that is an excellent point, and that's exactly kind of where I am right now. You need to be able to explain If not this, then what and why not? I mean, every representation of fiction doesn't need to correspond exactly with reality. I mean, otherwise, I mean, you have people who are upset, for instance, you should never go and see a movie that has aliens in it. I had someone tell me that one time. This movie has aliens in it, and there's no such thing as extraterrestrial life. We know that on the authority of the Bible, because if there's extraterrestrial life, then that means this is true with Genesis, and this is true with the Atonement, and, well, and it's a movie. And I don't think this movie is claiming to be lining up with reality. But I understand with Harry Potter, you've got a deeper kind of a question because you're marketing, as Robert says, to children. And so parents have to make some very hard decisions. Is this something we're going to encourage in our home? I don't know. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have Terry on the line calling from Wichita, Kansas. Terry, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Welcome to the program. What's your thought today?
Well, you're supposed to use the Bible to set your standards.
Mm-hmm.
Man doesn't set standards.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible does. So if you read a book, and all parents should proofread anything that they allow their children to read.
Right.
And if that book doesn't line up with what the Bible teaches, then that book is inappropriate, no matter what book it is or who wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
There's thousands of writers out there that are good Christian writers. And if you want your children to read, that's what they should read. The lady that made the comment, well, we've got millions of kids reading now. What if they were reading a Playboy book? That's not the purpose. The purpose is they should be reading Christian reading, not just reading. So it's very important that we censor what they read, what they go see at the movies. And if any of it doesn't line up with the Bible is what draws the line between right and wrong,
mm-hmm.
not man.
So, Terry, you would not just Harry Potter, but you wouldn't have your children reading anything that was not explicitly Christian. Is that right?
Right. That's what the Bible's there for, to set that standard. Man can't set that standard because we always let up on the standard. God never changes.
All right. Thanks so much. We have Rick, who is listening in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Rick, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. What's your thought today?
My thought is everybody's talking about, you know, as Christians we need to teach our kids this. And well, I think the issue is the non-Christians. That's where the scary part is, the non-Christian parents that are letting their kids read these things and,
mm-hmm.
and not giving them a different view of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the lady saying, well, you know, it's getting the generation of kids to read. Hey, why don't we just give them Playboys then? You know, it, just because they're reading doesn't make it right. Personally, I wouldn't, you know, let my children read. I'm not a parent, but I wouldn't let my kids read it. I know basically it's about good magic and, you know, black magic.
Uh-huh.
But doesn't the Bible teach that, you know, I hear people all the time say, well, white magic is fine, you know, if you're a white witch. Well, I don't agree with that. That's of the devil, whether it's white or black,
yeah.
Correct?
Oh, that's right. Well, I agree with you that white magic is definitely unbiblical, just as black magic is. I think the question is, though, what about a novel that's intending to be fictional and is presenting a very fantastic view of reality? How do you take that and repackage it in terms of your children? And they're going to be books that clearly present the dark side of reality in a way that glorifies it. There are going to be other things that present it in a way that's consistent with a Christian worldview. Harry Potter is one of those books that you're going to have to decide as a parent, does this do the one or does it do the other? We'll be right back after this break and talk about Harry Potter. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We're talking today about the issue of witchcraft in literature, the Harry Potter series. All of these children all over the world. I have right now on my television screen in front of me a muted Fox News that was showing this, looked like a teenage girl jumping up and down with her copy of the new Harry Potter book, just as happy as she could be, acting as though she had just won the lottery. What do you think? Harry Potter, how are you going to address that in terms of your own home? I think there's a bigger issue involved than just what are you going to do with this best-selling novel. I think the question is, how are we going to create children who have an imagination? You'll notice the scripture is not simply a rule book. The scripture is not a systematic theology. The scripture is presented in terms of a story that has in it a hero who is going to battle against a dragon, Revelation chapter 12. I think we need to create in our children a sense of resonance with that kind of a story. And I think one of the ways that God has given to us is fiction. And that's the reason why children love stories and adults love stories. What we need to make sure is that we're giving to our children good stories and stories that are able to create in them a taste for the gospel. And what that means is I don't think that everything that we read needs to end with and then little Johnny realized that he was a sinner and he prayed the sinner's prayer and he's been happy ever since. Instead, I think you need to have literature that really does understand violence and death and sin and the way that the world really is, along with a heroic figure who is willing to take on the forces of darkness, so that your children have a longing for that. That's why I think, I don't know about Harry Potter, and I doubt that I would read the Harry Potter series to my children at this point. If I did, it would be seriously edited, but I can tell you what I would read to them, and that's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I remember being a child reading the Narnia series, and there was something about that picture of Aslan being sacrificed on the stone table by the White Witch that caused me to resonate with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and to long for that lion to get up off the table and take on that witch. Now, is Lewis giving us an accurate picture of the gospel? In one sense, absolutely not. In another sense, you bet he is. And he reached into the mind and heart of this 9-year-old boy at that time and said, Jesus Christ is Lord. You need to make your decisions about Harry Potter and every other form of literature. Is this right? Is this Christian? But in the meantime, get your kids reading something. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.